Scatman's Audio. If you wanna be my friend, you had better go get a pen. And maybe we can keep in touch. Maybe. Like they did in the old days, it wasn't so long ago.
That
hey folks, we got your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk and Rory Scovel, live in the studio. Of course, you're not hearing this or seeing this live, but just know that when this happened, it was live. So what's the difference?
Well, find
what
out.
What is the difference?
February 20th.
You want to know what the difference is? Mm-hmm. Come on down February 20th. Mm-hmm. Daniel and I got a little Zoom room. Go to Daniel Van Kirk's Instagram. He's got a link tree.
So do you.
There's tickets. Go to danielvankirk.com. Also, you can go to Ticketmaster. Type in Pen Pals with DVK and RS.
Live
and
at Red Rocks 2023.
We're going to be at Red Rocks. Hey, when we started this show, we set goals. And we said one of our goals was to do a live show at Red Rocks. And that's we intend
do
to do it this
year.
That?
Do you think My Favorite Murder's done a show at Red Rocks?
I hope to God they have. I hope somebody, if they haven't, our new goal is to be the first ever podcast to record at Red Rocks.
It's good to set goals. That's what you say to somebody who tells you a goal that isn't going to work out. You go, well, it's good to set goals.
Yeah, and that's how you know they don't believe in you.
Right, 100%.
You know, Daniel and I, if you're playing the game Rock Band, Daniel and I sort of have the live podcast where we're in sort of like the sort of rundown rock clubs. Mm-hmm. We're just kind of getting going. We're just getting started. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of covers. Make no fucking mistake. That's not the end game for these two cackling idiots. No. We will play Red Rocks.
It would be wonderful.
Hashtag we will play Red Rocks. I'm not saying when, because when is what? And what is when of what we're even talking about?
Agreed.
I had on the hoodie, when is what on the back? Starts a convo, you know what I mean? A little icebreaker.
Yeah, for sure.
What is when is what? Honestly, it's not fun to explain. Honestly, I'm just like, if you're willing to listen to our podcast and catch up, maybe it makes sense, but
so
I can't.
You were having this conversation with your wife?
It was me and Jordan. Yeah, that's right. She's like, oh, when did you guys come across that? I'm like, just after you stop supporting the show.
Mm-hmm. And us as people. Hey, we have a little bit of fun business.
You?
I'm good.
Deep
How are you? Just, oh, I don't want to skip over
that.
Let's
do one big deep breath. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
We're doing okay.
Mm-hmm. How are you?
We're good. We're still on the surfboard.
Can I ask you a question? How do you Everybody navigate those bracelets when you're on set?
Like that? I got to take them off, take that wedding ring off. They give me a fake wedding ring almost exactly like this one.
But not.
And I wear that, but it's not.
Oh, so those are slide on, slide off bracelets?
These are slidesies. Oh, okay. Elliot made this one. That probably
I didn't know. That's why I thought
saying.
It. Oh, okay.
And then Jordan gave me these three. They're crystals, and they have magical powers that I don't necessarily believe in, but hey, I'm willing to,
you
miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about crystals. That's exactly how I feel about crystals.
And you know what? Not a lot of people will tie sports analogies to crystals. I mean, maybe,
right.
I guess Uncut Gems, the entire movie Uncut Gems would, but
yeah,
normally it doesn't happen.
That's why that's my favorite movie. It's the only movie that took sports and crystals, my two favorite things, and put them together.
Q,
that's why Kevin Garnett's my favorite basketball player.
Cute person
it.
Actualing us right now in the emails. Actually, it's not a crystal in Uncut Gems. It's a stone. All crystals are stones, but not all stones are crystals.
Daniel, using our favorite letter, the letter Q, we want to catch you guys up with the latest Q drops. Here's what we got.
Mm-hmm.
All Democrats, that's how they all have to start. It either starts with all Democrats, the moon, or time travel.
For sure.
They're all valid because the moon is there. Time travel, we can't prove it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you see that picture of the dude who's wearing modern clothes in a black and white picture and like has a cell phone, aren't you like, I honestly hope that's real. I hope that
We've
it did happen.
About this. You can't tell anybody.
I
if,
hope that's
if
real.
If you're from the future.
Yeah. Well, this guy was just dressed in like a Cure t-shirt. And he was like, you know what? Even back this far back, I still feel the same way about the days of the week.
Oh, for sure. I had a case of the Mondays.
Friday, I am in love. It's the endorphins.
I love that song.
So you're going to find someone that you think you're in love with.
Tuesday's great.
I'm rambling.
Wednesday to Thursday.
Yeah, Wednesday kind of gets shit. You know, Wednesday. Hey, bring your friend.
Right.
Bring your friend Wednesday.
Well, Rory, we have something fun to talk about. We started out this podcast with just us and Noah in tow.
Mm-hmm.
And quickly, we garnered what would become many people who support us. You know, obviously you have Lissa and you have Noah. But then there's people that are kind of like our grassroots Pennies and Pallets. And the first one was the Shan Man.
The Shan Man.
Whose birthday is the day after this drops.
That's right.
So tomorrow, if you're listening to it when it drops on the 17th.
And so because of that, there's nothing else to really say about it.
No,
because it hasn't happened yet.
Right. We will deal with this.
And we'll deal with this
some
afterwards.
Year when it lines up.
Hope it lines up. Maybe next year.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Nuno quit and we had to renegotiate his contract to get him to come back?
Yes.
And we were stuck on microphone for a long time.
A long time.
And then he came back.
Yeah. Well, we had to guarantee the intros for the live shows. And we had to pay that beret.
That's right.
But it was worth it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And remember we said every month, if you get a haircut, you're out.
Yeah, 100%.
So he doesn't do it. He doesn't cut it.
So
all right, Shan Man. Shan Man, have a good one tomorrow. Everybody listening, reach out to Shanley. You know where to find him. He started that Facebook page. Him and Emily, they're starting their own QAnon.
But it's
pen pals. It's QAnon, but pen pals. So it's not theories. It's truly things that have happened on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But it really makes you see, like, and a lot of people don't know that QAnon started as a podcast.
It did?
That's how you get followers.
On the one
Let's start
network?
A QAnon
no,
podcast.
We're not doing that, Roar. I want
it
us to create...
It's just called QAnon the podcast.
I want us to create a hashtag for Shanley. And I feel like we did this before, right? We did one that was like... Did we make Shan Man a hashtag?
Honestly, if I can speak from the heart, I think Shanley's had it too good for too long.
You do? Hey, as long as you're speaking from the heart.
Straight from the heart.
What's that?
I thought I knew it. I really. You ever say a line and you think you know the song, and then someone's like, "Who sings it?" And you're like, "I don't know that either."
Yes.
Oh, who sings it? I actually don't even know. Yeah, I'm gonna think of a hashtag.
Hashtag.
Who knows? It might come out in this episode. Who knows?
The Shanley Man can.
The Shanley Man can.
I mean, there's a whole song.
The Shanley Man can. In the movie of Pen Pals, he's. That's who Shanley is.
Mm-hmm.
Is Noah the spy guy that keeps going up to the kids every time they get the ticket?
Yes. And you and I are both Grandpa Joe.
That is so great. Nuno has to go up to the kids. I need you to steal gum.
I want you to do something for me.
That is so great.
All right.
There it is. There it is.
Put that on the poster. Put that on the shirt.
Yeah.
Add it up to it.
The Shanley Man can.
The Shanley Man can.
That feels so good.
Because he mixes it with love and makes the podcast seem good.
The Shanley Man can. I wish I knew all the words.
Who can remember what they said?
Do you know the words?
Post.
Who can remember who
Log
said
it
what?
All down so everybody knows the Shanley Man can. What is this?
What is this?
It's perfect.
Picture Shanley with that accent.
Well, Bonker's got a new one today.
What is it?
This is called a scrumdiddlyumptious bar.
Scrumdiddlyumptious?
How badly do you want to fucking eat a scrumdiddlyumptious bar?
Come on, man. I want to get lost in a how it flies? Chocolate tube. Mm-hmm.
No, sirree, you don't. They do it because they were born to do it.
We're going
to
get sued.
Just like Willy Wonka was born to be a candy man, and you...
That's when someone's like, why do these guys podcast? And that's when Chandler's like, because they were born to do it.
It's interesting like that you're not going with the Sammy Davis Jr. version.
Who can take a sunrise, sprinkle it with dew.
Mm-hmm. See, I was on it.
Cover it in chocolate and a miracle or two.
The Chandler man.
The candy man. The candy man can.
The Chandler man can.
He mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
You know what bothers me about that scene?
Hmm.
They run amok in that fucking candy store. I like all my OCD kicks in. I'm like, this is how do you know who to charge who what who for what?
Yeah.
Who cleans after this?
A lot. You can't.
And you're doing this every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is awesome. It's honestly, it's like the peach pit, but it's for those kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's their peach pit. And they fucking go and they get revved up on sugar and they go. Those kids go home and they are such pieces of shit to their parents because they're on these sugar highs.
Mm-hmm.
And those watermelon parents don't sugar know. High. They don't know. And some of the parents are like, stop at the candy place. See if you get one of those tickets. Change our lives. All right.
I'm with you.
We never knew what when this podcast started. How much of an influence Willy Wonka was going to be. We just didn't know.
No.
We didn't know because we didn't know that. And this is why, for anyone who's curious, whenever we open a letter, we always find a golden ticket.
That was good.
You know
good,
what I mean?
Rory.
The letters are our candy bars.
That was good.
And how do we get those candy bars? It's because the Chandler man's out there. It's because of people like the Chandler mm-hmm. man. Have you ever met him? I've never actually met Adam, and I've never talked to him or anything.
No. Yeah, I've met multiple people that claim to be him.
I can't.
And I had good times with all of them, but none of them checked out to be him.
I can't. I honestly, I can't handle him.
Hey.
All right, let's do
it. No, wait. Before we go, though, our live show is in 3 days.
That's right.
And I love Pennies and Pallies because they've already started sending in letters for the live show.
They know it's coming. They know we're going to announce.
We've already started getting letters about having an evil kid. If you you got to go back to last week if you're going to chime in on that.
The page
mm-hmm.
for the page mm-hmm. for the live page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So email us thepenpalspod@gmail.com. Put in the subject heading live show February 20th, and then we'll know that that's what your letter's for, and we might read it. But only do that if you're going to be there.
Yeah,
we want to talk to you if we pick your letter and you're there, which we will try to do.
Yeah.
That makes it all the more fun.
It kind of becomes our guest on the show.
There's still tickets available, but you better get them right away because we do cap it. This isn't one of those Zoom shows where they just keep adding 100 people. We cap it. So once we get to like 200, closed. Yeah. Done.
We cap some of ours. We cap them at 30 people.
I've done that many times in my life.
That's right.
They were like,
that's right.
Should we do the show? I'm like, dude, the show, this is a sellout.
I've capped every birthday party at just family and maybe one or two friends.
Well, we're not going to next year for our 40th. We're going to later this year. I mean, we're going
to
crush
it. I wonder if Shanley's going to come out for our 40th and just try to fucking be like, can this be my 40th?
It'd be great to finally meet him.
Yeah, sure, fine. Yeah. It's the summer of 40, dude.
In fact, if somebody said to me, who can come to your 40th? I would go, the Chandler man can.
The Chandler man can.
All right, you want to do this?
Do you think any adults walked by and they were like, hey, what the fuck are you kids? Oh, sorry, Mike. I didn't know you were working. It just looked like the kids. It looked like no one was
being ransacked.
I thought these kids were robbing you.
Let's do it. Let's go ahead and do it.
Okay, here we go.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
And let's go to the letters.
I love it.
Mm. It's milky.
It is.
It's got a milky tone to it.
Do you want to go or you want me to go?
You go.
Okay. Ready? There's so many parts you're going to want to talk about during this.
That sounded like we were about to race through the letter. All right. Ready? Shit. Hey, maybe I'm not.
The only racing we're going to do is this summer when we run gassers. 10. 10.
The Chandler man can. 10.
10. Dear Rory and Daniel and Noah, there are so
love
many
it.
Things. You love all of it.
Love everything. You know what? throwing Noah in. That's a first.
That almost got this unread completely.
I know. What a first. What a first.
Yeah. That's less likely to get your letter read. Because you'd just email it to him. He'll read it.
Just call him.
Call him up.
We give out his number
213-465.
Shandy man can.
The only reason I didn't stop saying, or I didn't keep saying a fake number, is because I didn't want someone to get called in case that was a
lot
real number.
Of texts.
Okay.
I'm going to be addicted to going, the Shandy man can.
It works. Hashtag.
I just said the Shandy man can.
I did
that
a couple
too.
Times too.
Feels good. All right.
Rory has a bit about someone that gets hired to play piano in a hotel lobby but doesn't know how, so he just confidently fakes it. I play piano.
No, I don't.
I play piano, and I think about it on a daily basis. So, in the spirit of all things great genre covers of the theme song, of all these great genre covers of the theme song, I give you the Pen Pals theme in a hotel lobby. Now, do you want to hear this now or later, Rory?
What would you vote?
Maybe we do it at the end of the letter.
All right,
we'll
do
go
it at
to
the
break
end of the
with
letter.
It. Okay. Yep. If I can overstay my welcome, and also include a letter, I think I have a good one. I was an only child to a couple of 20-year-olds. They had me very young, and at a certain point, it felt like we were all figuring it out together, which was nice. They didn't really talk to their families for various reasons, so it really was just the three of us. I don't think too much about being an only child growing up, honestly. Everyone else I knew had siblings, but it didn't seem that important. When I left for college, my parents waved goodbye to me, looked at each other, and immediately divorced. But it seemed all right. They did the thing they were supposed to do. They both consider their marriage a success, even afterward, which I've always found pretty enlightened. My dad eventually remarried. I was in my mid-20s. He was only 45, so they had a kid. My baby sister is 26 years. My baby sister and I have 26 years between us. To put that into perspective, my dad and I only have 21. She's 2.5 now and walking and talking. She calls me bruh, so she's kind of a bro, I guess. I've said that part. And will give everyone except me a hug and then laugh. I love her so much, it honestly freaks me out. Still, because of the age difference, it's weird to think that the biggest connection to my sister and I might have is that we're both only children. So, I've been thinking about what it means to be an only child and how I can better prepare my sibling for it. What's the deal with only children? Rory, is there anything you think about with your daughter? Daniel, you seem to like your extended family. How do I get my sister to still like me even though I'm old? What is it that siblings offer that a lifelong only child might not understand? I love you guys so much. There's not much to do nowadays, so I usually just listen to new episodes while I walk the exact same route around my house and then go tell my partner about it like we all just hung out for real. Hashtag grow the show. Hope you like the song. I wish you well. Sean. All right, Rorst.
Yes.
Yeah.
I tell you what, that's a very interesting one. 26 years. Mm-hmm. My youngest brother and I, Jordan, have about 19 years between us, I think.
Do you guys like each other?
Right. 18 or 19. We do. I like all my siblings.
I know, do you have a connection?
Hope they like me. You know, I think we do in the sense that I sometimes tell people that 18 years is, you know, obviously a huge gap.
Yeah.
Socially. But he's now 22, and I feel like and I've watched it happen with all my younger siblings, I think they get into their 20s and they realize that me and my older sister aren't so old. We aren't like so
right.
Crazy old. We're still right. Like youthful.
Well, remember when
people,
you were a freshman and the seniors seemed old?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when someone's like, hey, I'm 40, it's like, Jesus, you are out there. Which I get. I was the same way, you know? But I think because I've told this to people and I don't know, but this job, there isn't a cause and effect here. There isn't one, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a very youthful personality.
Right.
In general.
Sure.
Which has sustained because I happen to be lucky enough to have a very youthful, energetic occupation.
Right.
In doing stand-up, in acting, in doing this. Now, it's not like all those things can't be taken more seriously, but the community of coworkers I have, we're all fucking clowns. So you, it kind of keeps you young like you should be, I think.
I agree.
And also, he played. He plays soccer. He played college soccer. I played college soccer. We were the only two in our family that played in college, even though I think my two of my sisters, I think, could have. And I think we just have those connections. I think this job and the fact that, you know, my name is out there a little bit to people he knows, his friends, maybe there's something there that makes it seem like I'm less of a dinosaur and more of someone who's relevant.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a good relationship. It's interesting because, you know, we're at such different points in our life. We're going through very different things. It isn't so easy to directly relate to each other or where each other is at in our lives. But I think we have a pretty good relationship. And I feel, like I said, I feel that way about all my siblings. But
yeah, I mean,
yeah, 26 years is a lot. I also got to say, being mid-20s when, you know, your baby sister here is two and a half. Man.
But here's my thing.
That's basically your kid.
But also, right. But also completely not, because I imagine that even if you're in the same town, your day-to-day life isn't going to have much of a role in your sister's day-to-day life. Which,
no, not at all.
Which means you need to pick and choose your moments. And for me, I don't have a huge gap. One of my brothers is 8 years younger than me. But I look at it, when I think about Sean's situation, I look at it like my nephews. So 20 years between me and my oldest nephew. And then there's the most recent nephew was born 6 years ago. So what I think is, play a role in their life that's like only good stuff, because you can't be around for the day to day. You have to pick and choose when it's your moment to show any sort of like reprimanding or discipline. It might be a little bit easier when it's your sibling, but what I did was just become the like one of the coolest people they know. And it might sound like a little bit of bribery, but I think it's fun. Like,
yeah,
when I'm in town, or if I lived closer, I would probably try to do this at least 4 or 5 times a year. But when I'm in town, I try to take them all to a movie. Whatever you want to get. What do you want to get? Now, I limit them to like one candy, one drink, or one popcorn, one drink. But like, what do you pick? I don't give a shit. And then... Like, I have a tradition with them on Thanksgiving that, you know, obviously didn't get to happen this year, but like that we do every single year. And in the summer, I've taken them to water parks in Wisconsin Dells. And so my presence in their life is almost like the way you would feel about like a Labrador retriever. It's just like, you're the best. Like, it's just, and it's fun. Yeah. And it's, yeah. But I also take moments to like try to talk to them about stuff or teach them, like, do you understand why we're doing this and not doing that? Or like, for example, when I let them pick like one gift at Walmart, I say to them, like, you can get anything you want for $15. But if you get something that's like, because they all have, they love guns. Like, they love guns. And I'm like, you don't need another gun. I grew up with responsible gun ownership.
And just to be clear, Daniel is talking about very real guns.
In some ways, yes. Yeah, they all hunt. But also, like, with the little kids, like, I'm like, you don't need another Nerf gun. Like, I'm sick of buying you Nerf guns. So if you get something that isn't a Nerf gun, you can spend $20. And then like watching them try to like figure that out between what do I want more, and them have to like be patient with each other. So there is opportunities for like education and being someone who teaches them things. But I just try to be like just a positive thing, a good time Charlie in the chocolate factory in their life.
Sure.
You know?
Because you don't, you can cross a line when you try to be too.
I'm not,
you know, when you try to give too. It's, you know what I mean?
Yes.
When you try to, and the thing is, they don't understand that you're like, this is how I see it, that they can't understand that you're like, no, the advice I'm giving you is going to be harder for you to accept from others.
Right.
I am a person you can ask me anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I will straight up tell you my personal shit. I'll tell you my dark shit. I'll tell you my embarrassing thing. I'll tell you that whatever you think is embarrassing, I want you to know that's normal to feel that way and that I have it too. And also, so does everybody.
Right.
You know, I feel like so much of our shielding ourselves is because we're so unaware that everybody has the same story when it comes to these fucking things. Mm-hmm. I try to do that with my, you know, talking about specifically about my brother, but also all my siblings. You know, when I try to bring up anything, I'm sure it's annoying. I'm sure there isn't any sort of, and it's not disciplinary, but I just try to say what I wish I could have told myself.
Yeah.
You know, and with my youngest brother, a lot of it's about like health stuff. You know, he's 22 and I'm like, man, if I could have gone back, 22 was my peak best physical fitness. When I was playing soccer in college, mm-hmm. I didn't realize that all of that, playing that sport that I love so much and playing it so much, just naturally had me in this amazing shape that I took for granted. And yeah. I just kind of thought, oh, well, I'm in good shape because I'm young, when I didn't realize that's not the case. That's right. not the case. I actually worked for it. And mm-hmm. I wish I would have come out of college understanding nutrition and dietary stuff and what food does to you, good or bad. I wish I understood that. I wish I cared about it, but I didn't. I ate like garbage because at that time, probably for 10 more years after I graduated, my body could still break everything down so effortlessly. There were no consequences.
Right. None.
And I think I'm in fine shape now, but I think I really would be much healthier, and I think I'd feel better, and I think there'd be some physical and mental benefits to my life now had I done it then. Mm-hmm. And had someone maybe done that for me, I might have been like, oh, this is good to know. This is good to know these things. Just something as simple as hydration, something that most of us don't do.
Can I ask you a question, though? As like, you have an only child. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always thought that, like, you know how when you're growing up, like, one of your friends is the, like, their house is the, like, everybody goes to house?
Mm-hmm.
I would have no problem being that house for my kids in a normal world, obviously. So, yeah. Like...
You're talking about high school, they're going to be drinking kind of thing?
No, I just mean even, like... We're at slumber party and playing video
games.
Where
it's just fun.
Yeah. Like, they got the good pantry. But, like...
Yeah. They got the good pantry. You know what I mean. Fucking nice. such a deep grab and so relatable. Right now, everyone just went, yeah, I know exactly what that means. Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about. And they all have a name in their mind. A name popped up.
Yep.
A face just popped into so many people's heads.
Chris Bryant.
The good pantry. So, the parents who get it.
Yeah. So... Do you think about that, like, in your daughter's social, of, like, either wanting her to, like, be like, no, be with your friends? Like, I mean, obviously you wouldn't force anything on her, but, like, if she feels that way, you'd be like, yeah, no, bring or bring your friends into this house and make this a place for you to come and have fun, because you experienced that growing up with your sister, and then you obviously throughout later in life, like, added more siblings. And I certainly experienced it, like, with my brothers, and literally next door was Aunt Connie and Uncle Ken and their three kids. So, like, I had a lot of that, like, there's a group of us all the time.
Yeah.
And I wonder for an only child, if you know, like, oh, it's not that big of a deal to be an only child, just as long as you find your group, whether your group is a book club or a volleyball team or whatever.
That is how I feel now. I do feel like in this time of a pandemic, I am like, oh man, because we, you know, Jordan and I both were like, yeah, we have great friends and we play with those friends and they have kids. Mm-hmm. And like, it's been great. It's been so great to get her... to get that social thing out of her. Do I wish that she could know the companionship and the love of a sibling? Sure, but I only feel that way because that's what I had.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, she doesn't know what she's not.
And I can't say that you don't know what you don't know. Right. And so, and like I said on the I guess the last episode or two, I don't remember which one, but when is what, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, who's to say that, you know, having two parents that are very dedicated to you with their attention isn't amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't say that that's what I had, you know, that's not what I had.
Right.
Because there were seven of us, slowly over time. Right. But, I think exactly like you think. I don't mind. Now that I do have a kid and I know how fucking insane the sleepover thing can be, you know, there's a line.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it. I don't mind knowing that that's how my kid gets that companionship. And I don't mind that that's how my kid will get it her entire life,
right,
is from others. And I actually think it's wildly important. I think it's very important for everybody, tons of siblings or not, to learn what are the basic functions of how you build a small community. And I mean small community in the sense of how do you just, what does it take to just have a good friendship? Break it down to as simple as what you and I have, you know, and going, well, what are the elements of that that make it work? There's some elements that you can't teach. There are personality traits that just line up, but you'd be surprised how many personality traits, how many people have that personality trait that you could line up with and have a special relationship with. It's many, many people. Ours, given the fact that we do stand up, we are coworkers, and specifically have this podcast, we're in a position where that is nurtured regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't to say that it isn't something you can find with many people. I think having your child learn that is a big deal because those people become, you know, they're our situation. I don't look and go, we're friends. I go, no, I have friends who are family.
Right.
I have people that I consider family in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think that that's something that you teach. So I no longer look at it like, I wish she had this. I go, well, she will have the knowledge, whether she chooses to use it or not, but she will have the knowledge of what it takes to, you know, care about a relationship and know what a relationship takes. You know, you think that's an easy thing, but it's really not. I think there's a lot of people out there that just they aren't aware of what that takes.
I agree with you.
And I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm not saying they're annoying people or awful people. They just don't know what it takes to nurture a relationship through whatever reason.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm rambling about.
No, I agree with you.
But I did try to say nurture at least 100 times.
And you hit the mark. And
thank
and
you.
Whoever had
thank
that
you
on
for
the bingo
tally.
Card
thank
is
you. And
crushing
for
it.
Doing the tally matters a lot to me. And that's our friendship.
Yeah.
And that's because you nurture this.
I'll just say this to you. Be the cool, fun person in your young, young, young sister's life. Understand that there will be a sweet spot from probably like 4 or 5 to maybe 10 to 12 where you will be one of the coolest persons she knows.
Yeah.
And then you will stop being cool to her altogether. And then you will get very cool to her again on a completely different level when she's
and that's
like,
every dad too with a daughter.
Oh, sure. And I'm sure it goes. I mean, it goes with my nephews where it's like, it's come back a little bit for some of them that are like now late teens, early 20s where they're already like, you want to play cards or something? And I'm like, yes. Where have you been for 3 years? But the other ones that are super young are like, Uncle Danny, can we? And you're like, yeah, let's do it. Like, don't ever. And that's the other thing too. Do not turn down an opportunity to have a good time in this child's life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's where your bonds are coming
in. Yes, and get involved.
Yeah, yep.
But also, you know, keep in mind, like, try to present yourself and maintain the space, that space where communication can happen. I think it's something that I think about a lot with just my kid, to go, I don't want to just be a dad and a disciplinarian and a provider to whatever extent. I'd rather, you know, her grow up to be like, oh no, this is someone I can really talk to and confide in, who doesn't have a judgment and will tell me the truth and will say his opinion on a question or a situation. I think try to be that, because as simple as it seems to be that person, I bet you there's a lot of people you could do a poll who would maybe be like, well, I can't name that person in my life because I don't know who that person is.
Yeah.
Or a lot of them are like, oh, it's my spouse or it's my girlfriend or boyfriend or whoever it is. But it isn't something that goes like, oh, it's this person that's much older than me, because that's what you really need it from.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of athletes that will tell you it's their coach specifically because that coach has nothing invested in, you know, if they're good coaches, they don't have anything invested in shaming a kid who comes to them with problems. The coach kind of knows the role. Like, if I want this kid to really succeed, or if I want this kid to hit the potential that I know that he or she is capable of, Well, then I have to be that open door that helps them fix problems.
Yep.
And you don't realize how powerful it is. It's more powerful than teaching them how to, you know, run a play or dribble a basketball or kick a ball, whatever it is. It's more powerful to teach them how to openly communicate.
Oh, it's huge, dude.
God, I already love this episode.
All right. Hey, Roar. Let's
the Shanley Man Cast.
I know. It's still in my head, too. I know. We'll say goodbye here. And then we're about to say goodbye to you, Sean. And then let's just play. Let's make the first thing we come back for the break. We'll play his cover, his Hotel Lobby.
I love it. Pen pals. I already love it.
Okay.
I already love it.
Thank you, Sean. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk
and Rory Scovel.
Hey, do you miss traveling with your besties like in Girls Trip? Do you miss going to huge family gatherings like in Soul Food? Do you miss meeting the parents like in Get Out? Well, actually, no one misses that. But you can still do all of these things with me, Desmond Thorne, on my podcast, Adventures in Black Cinema. Each week, I take you on a journey through a new black film, how it relates to the culture, and sometimes how the themes relate to my own life, so there's always a little tea and a slight bit of embarrassment. And of course, as a filmmaker myself and one of the blackest, film nerdiest film nerds like ever, you're always in good hands. Adventures in Black Cinema with Desmond Thorne, executive produced by Amanda Seals. New episodes every Tuesday on all major podcast platforms.
When was the last time you did something just for you? Discover your summer essentials with FabFitFun, the best subscription box service delivering full-size self-care and wellness products delivered straight to your door. Their experts carefully pick from top trending products for you to personalize your own box of happiness. Just choose your plan and get ready for the best in home, fashion, beauty, wellness, and so much more. So whether it's the perfect beach blanket, a handy wine chiller, or aloe vera gel, FabFitFun has you covered for all of your fun in the sun needs. You'll get to choose some of the products to go in your box while the rest are a surprise. Plus, you can access other perks like flash sales and new items up to 70% off. FabFitFun is more than just an incredible value. It's me time in a box. All about the brands you love, the brands you will love, and doing something that's just for you. Visit FabFitFun.com for 50% off your first box while supplies last when you use code TALKSHOW. That's FabFitFun.com, code TALKSHOW.
Roar, we have a small business ad. It says, hey, gang.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read it. Maybe we'll figure out
how to promote it.
Hey, gang. I hope this small business proposal finds you better than well. The best, even. You guys read a letter I sent in way back about the specific moment when you realized stand-up comedy was the dragon you wanted to chase. In this letter, I also shared my own comedy moment in which I got to tell jokes for my mom right around the time of her first breast cancer diagnosis. Well, that's good news. Right. Elizabeth kicked that shit to the curb twice.
Fuck yeah.
Now she's living holistically, growing out that hair, and will not stop telling me about all the vitamins she's taking. She's also,
this is where that small business comes in.
She also started her very own small business, Sandpiper Beach Glass.
Sandpiper Beach Glass. Mm-hmm. I still try to make it an ad. This is Sandpiper Beach Glass.
Guys, let me tell you about Sandpiper Beach Glass.
Daniel, tell me a little bit about Sandpiper Beach Glass.
Well, for anybody who might not know, beach glass is a term for fragments of glass that somehow ended up in a large body of water and are tumbled and tossed by waves before washing back up on the shore.
That's right. This process gives the glass a smooth, soft look, and Elizabeth combs the shores of lakes in the northeastern U.S., handpicking these gems and using them to craft charming and unique works of art.
She creates sun catchers, jewelry, window art, wall decor. And if you ask nicely, she might even sit down if you haven't already, make a custom piece just for you.
Now, hold on. And I honestly, this is such a nice letter. It's such a nice small business ad. And I hate to curse. What the fuck is a sun catcher?
Ooh. Well, here's what happens. The light
I know goes, dream catchers. Right,
the light goes through. Have you ever seen Pollyanna?
Of course I've seen Pollyanna.
Fucking A, you have. Pollyanna. Okay, it's kind of like that. Where it's, remember when that old lady's like, you give her that fucking doll at
remember
the bazaar?
At the very beginning, he's got like the thing. He's running with the hoop. And you're like, is that really fun?
That was the toy.
Just that's how people jogged back then. That's how people jogged.
They had to trick them.
That's right. That was the first one wheel.
When she goes to that bazaar. Ugh.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
So those crystals, bringing it all the way back to your bracelets, those crystals are like they catch the sun and shoot it onto the wall. I think that's what this is, like a sun catcher.
Okay. Sorry, I cursed.
That's okay. A piece from sandpiper beach glass would make a perfect gift for anyone who finds himself drawn to the water or can simply appreciate the symbolic beauty of something that has emerged from the tide.
Like humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag evolution.
Mm-hmm. If nothing else, every piece is made with love by a mom who somehow found a way to get people to pay her to go to the beach. I love that. And what's better than that? Nothing. You can check her out at etsy.com/shop/sandpiperbeachglass. That is
Sandpiper Beach Glass.
That's S-A-N-D-P-I-P-E-R Beach Glass. Or head over to Instagram and just go to Sandpiper Beach Glass. You guys, we ask you to do this for a small business who has an Instagram. If you have the time and you're feeling the love and the good vibes, jump onto their latest post and just say, Pen Pals sent me here.
And also, maybe see if you like. Don't want anything, don't need anything, or let's say it's not for you, fucking share it with 10 people and move on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Why
pass the ball.
Why not? Sandpiper Beach Glass. That's our small biz. If you liked this and you have something that you're selling, let us know. We might read it right here. In this spot, but with your stuff. All right. You ready for this, Roar? We're back.
Yep.
I'm just going to start playing it.
Oh. God damn.
Okay. Do you want to know my favorite part?
Yes.
You can hear it at the very beginning. There's people in the background talking because he literally played this in a hotel lobby.
Is that true?
Yeah. Do you want to see if you can hear it?
Yes.
Okay. Then I'll fade it out. Right? We can't listen to it all again because we're going to listen to it 100 more fucking times in our life.
Yeah. Wait, hold on.
Okay.
Let's let it play and let's sing to it like how you would sing to it.
Well, that's the other thing. It has such a fucking La La Land feel to it.
I know.
I just wanted to be like, City of Stars, shine your lights on me.
Yeah.
I'm doing the Gosling version. The Legend version I can do too. It's way better.
You sound and look like him. I've always meant to tell you that.
Legend or Gos?
The mashup.
No!
You sound and look like the mashup of Gosling
shine
and Legend.
Shine your light on me. Okay, ready?
Yeah, you see? All right.
I know. Ready?
I did hear it.
You can hear it again. You can hear it again.
You wanna be my friend and get a pen. Maybe we can keep in touch. In the old days, it wasn't so long ago.
Oh, I wish you well. Listen to it again. There's a part of me where it's like, for only live page episodes do we end it with that? I don't know.
Live page.
I want to.
I love that. Okay. I love that.
I loved it too.
Live page.
Sean.
I like the phrase live page. Good for you, Sean.
I know. How about this? Rory.
Okay.
Turn the page.
That's what's so good about this show. It's fucking, it's organic.
Uh-huh.
It is an organism.
Mm-hmm. It does live
and
on
what,
its own.
And you know what just happened just now?
What?
You found broken glass on a beach and said, let me turn this into a fucking sun catcher that creates moonbeams that helps you dream.
Now you've gone full circle.
I thought you were going to say, and now you've gone too far.
No, never. Not with me.
Never far enough. Daniel.
Yeah, buddy.
You asked for this, and so we got it.
Okay.
As you guys maybe remember, Daniel mentioned that he had some attendance
at the bingo.
Was it bingo night?
Yeah.
Attendance on bingo night.
Because in order to win, like if you get bingo and you're using the free space, in order to get credit for using the free space, you have to tell a secret.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
And two people said they knew serial killers.
They had interacted with or knew, yes.
Here we go. Hey, pals. Not a bad start.
Well, it's not the best.
It's not as good as it could be.
Right, Daniel.
A few years ago, Rory, I saw a news story on the internet about a guy that killed a homeless man. When I saw... Sounds like American Psycho. It was Christian Bale. When I saw the story, I froze. A guy named Kyle Morgan murdered a homeless person. He was on medication for mental health issues and had substance abuse issues. It sounds like those things clashed and put him in a very bad mental state, leading to all of this. I was friends with him when I was in high school. He dated my best friend. We had inside jokes. At one time, he was going through a rough patch. He left his parents' home and was staying in a local hotel. Dumb teenager move coming up. I went to that hotel to check in on him alone. That's the part that really shakes me up. That was the last time I saw him, but from time to time, I'd get a call from an unknown number, and the voice on the other end would start into one of our inside jokes. Mm-mm. I struggle with this a lot because I'm a huge proponent for incarcerated people's rights. Mm-hmm. I listen to a podcast called Ear Hustle, made by people in San Quentin, and it's taught me a lot about the prison system and the struggles people go through when released from prison. I also believe that people with substance abuse problems and those with mental illnesses can overcome those with support, either through medication, therapy, whatever works for them. I have several friends and family members that have issues with both. Who doesn't, really? But when I looked up the article on this and I see his mugshot, I have difficulty not seeing the person that murdered someone. I can't help but think of his victim, and it makes me feel hypocritical. Not really sure how to finish this letter. Here's the story if you're interested, and a link was provided. Mm-hmm. Thanks for reading, Jen.
And literally, like, the, you know how sometimes you can read the title to an article in the link? Like, that's all I need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says, Morgan sentenced to 30 years for grisly murder. So
yeah.
That's enough for me.
I
mean, this is equally parts disturbing, sad.
Yes.
And interesting.
Yeah.
To me. There's other things as well, but it's equally all those things.
Yes.
Because I'll pull back the curtain on a show that we aren't currently doing. On Dumb People Town, I deliberately stay away from anything that is clear mental illness. If somebody had a bad trip, fine. But like, if it's like, well, if they're like, has a history of mental illness, sometimes I can even tell before they get to the thing. I'm like, yeah, no. Like, there was a story months and maybe a year ago about a woman who defecated in a subway. And... Like in front of the sandwich ordering area, and it was just so clear she was suffering from mental illness. So to me, that's
okay. So Subway, the sandwich
shop, sorry,
where someone could get an Aranca.
Yeah. Okay. And I was like, oh, that's not funny, because this person's struggling. This person's going through, and so
yes,
it's like I totally. First of all, like Jen saying, I feel like a hypocrite. most people who are hypocrites never think that sentence. So that doesn't mean you aren't, but you are a good person for understanding these multiple truths at the same time. That you feel for this person, you're sympathetic to them. Also, you knew that you really fucked up by being in a place alone with them, unknowing what their mental stability was like, and at the same time wanting people to be reformed, but then also thinking that how much of a role did they play in their mental illness getting worse? And then, you know, so you're uttering the sentence, I don't want to be a hypocrite. That already makes you better than those people in that regard.
There's so many elements. Like, sure, if you look back and you go, I can't believe I went to his hotel
alone.
But also, this is your friend. This is someone you're friends with who was staying in a hotel, who was in a bad spot, and you went to support that situation.
Right.
And there wasn't a part of you that thought that something, either in the world of sexual assault or murder could occur.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, at that time, I'm sure that actually isn't something that could have happened with this particular person. I'm not saying that's not ever the play.
Sure.
I wouldn't say go any, and I don't mean that just for women. I mean, going anywhere alone at night it's obviously
right.
infinitely worse for women, but no one should do it. It's just, it's terrifying. It's terrifying for me. I don't even like taking the garbage out, if I can be honest, late at night. Jordan says do it, and I go, mm-mm, it's all on you, and I make her do it.
You do? You guys don't ever wake up Elliot and make Elliot do it? Elliot, get up.
Elliot, you're five now, and it's time to start earning.
Wake up.
It's time to start earning your keep. But I would say that this, you know, Jen, the outcome of who this person became, for whatever reason, drug abuse or mental issues or whatever it is, there aren't elements that you can control. And the person that you see in that picture, you know something. You know a different version of someone inside that body. You know a different version of that soul. And just reading the article, the extreme, I don't know if did you read the article or not, but the...
Me? No, I
the
no,
level I of gruesome that the murder is...
It's pretty bad.
It's insane.
Okay, yeah.
It's insane. And there's so much to it and what he did in the apartment that you would easily go, the guy was a drifter, and I think he invited him back to his apartment. And... destroyed his apartment, and you're like, oh, this guy was off it. He was off it.
Mm-hmm. Morgan was.
Morgan, yeah. Which is, I don't think do you know if Jen was one of the two people? I don't think that's, I think this is maybe
no,
a whole other letter.
Not. No, yeah, she was
Yeah,
not.
I think this
she
is a whole, not. This is a third person.
Yeah. Well, can I ask you, Rory?
Yes.
Do you know?
Of course, I know murderers, comics who slay on stage.
There you go. Do you know anyone who's murdered somebody, or do you know anybody who's tragically taken someone's life? Not, but it wasn't murder.
Accidentally?
Because I know both.
Like, I feel like I'm going to sit here and go no, and then someone's going, "Don't you remember so and so from high school?"
One of my close, extremely lifelong close friends accidentally killed another kid.
Yeah.
And then someone I went to high school with that I was not friends with at all, took a life that's all that needs to be said about it. It never needs to be. He was a monster. But I guess when you said that, like, I was curious if you've experienced that, I mean, I have friends in the military, and at least one of them was in a pretty big firefight, but I don't know if they had any confirmed kills.
Yeah, this feels like one of those questions where the most obvious thing is right in front of my brain, and I can't see it. Like, someone's going to go, don't you remember you went to therapy at 14? I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
Nothing is popping out. In terms of like,
it's probably just so weird
murder.
For Jen, because she's
even
like,
accidental, nothing's popping out.
She knows that she's read this article, right? So she's like, oh, monster. But then she thinks about the person that she once knew and watched deteriorate, and it's like,
yeah,
that's
it's a
mess.
Tough spot,
right?
If any of these words help. Jen, as insane as it is, and you look at the article and you feel however you feel for the victim or whatever, you also don't know the victim. Even when people are victims, your heart breaks for them, but it does it in a different way. This is the person who did it, you know, and I bet you there's a lot of people who could sit on the other side of this and easily go, well, yeah, that person's awful, and your heart breaks for the victim. I think if you're in different position where you actually know the people involved, depending on the severity of it and depending on what happens post with, you know, how people respond or what they say, you mm-hmm. also judge people through, like someone maybe involved in rape or something. Mm-hmm. You also calculate many things of, let's say it's an accusation. A rape case, there's a lot of you going, well, this was this amount of time, even the statute of limitations. There's a world where you maybe don't ever know the truth of something, but you wait to see how someone responds to an accusation. And I think we've learned more recently than not, the way people respond is very interesting mm-hmm. because it still doesn't give you facts, but it does build a story in a lot of people's minds.
Yeah.
Where if someone has this very nonchalant response, and also that can go one of two ways. But in like, I don't know if that's making any sense. It makes perfect sense in my mind. No, how some response can help you decide, like, oh, wait, what?
Right.
And also when you see, and when you hear like so many victim stories, and I don't mean just rape or sexual assault, but in anything, you build your information and your opinion off of these natural ways that you read people through the evidence of what they just give you, through how they talk and what their physical mm-hmm. Actions are. And Jen, you're someone who has to sit here and know that you know two different people inside one person. And that's hard to come to grips with. I don't think you're asking for it in this letter. But if you are, I would say release yourself of any, if you do feel regret that you went to a hotel room late at night alone as a teenager, sure.
Yeah.
That we all have.
But I think sometimes we have this feeling where
these horrible decisions that could have actually turned out really horrible, but didn't. And there's right. nothing, you can't change it.
But I think sometimes we have this feeling of like, oh, I've got to land on a place here, right? Like of how, and it's like, no, your place might be complicated.
How do you feel? Yeah, right.
That's might be the place you land on. It might change with the fucking wind. We were like, sometimes I think like he should rot in jail forever. And then on the other hand, I think like he should get out and when he served his time and get into like the most like guided mental health treatment and maybe be able to fix his life. And also I mourn the loss of the person that I used to know. And I loathe the person that did those things. It's like
that made these actions.
Yes.
Yeah. But also for anyone, especially when it comes to mental health issues, I would say be careful when you step into the side of judgment for that, because you don't know when it's going to be you.
It's true.
There's no part of it right now. Just because you have maybe
what
you consider to be strong
and
healthy mental health right now, it doesn't mean it can't shift and change. You truly have no idea what is going to happen to your mind and who you're going to become. And it isn't like, and I don't mean that in the world of decisions that you knowingly make, mm-hmm. decisions you consciously make. Mm-hmm. So it's not to say that there's something like, well, it's okay because someone didn't know, but there is something to factor in when it comes to mental health issues. There's some people who are fucking monsters.
Yeah.
And then there's some people that don't mean to be.
And want to be monsters.
There's some people who want to be monsters. And there's some people that don't know that they are. And they're actually kind of unaware that they even did something. The mind is incredible. It's truly insane. Mm-hmm. This device that gives us information to make us think what we're interpreting is even real. God damn it, I'm so fucking deep. I go deep, it's like, fuck, make a poster out of that. You know what I mean? It's like me, but it's I'm dunking on the word deep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
there's no doubt someone can create that. Me dunking on the word deep.
The Shanley man can.
Just postering, me postering deep in a poster.
Deep like
the Shanley man can. Jen, I think you came here to share.
Yep.
And we are grateful that you did. And if there's something we said that helps, honestly, I'll be honest, just reading this reading your tone of this story. I don't know there's anything you need from us. I think you are doing fine.
But you can know that we're thinking about you. And but it's
if any of those things we thought were right, then there you go.
Right.
But thank you for sharing. I have a feeling we're going to get hopefully two other letters that tell us about some serial killer shit. Because it's how very strange. Because I think these other ones would probably be like, oh, I didn't really know him that well, but then I found out he killed 10 people.
That's at least one of them. Well, I guess it's both of them. But yeah.
Hit us up. But for right now, we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory School
and Daniel Van Kirk.
If it wasn't so long ago.
A podcast network.